It took quite a few years, but, well, later rather than sooner, the Catholic Church confessed their sins regarding the rapist priest that they gave cover to for decades. Part of that confession, including setting up a fund for the victims of these criminals, has this fund truly served the victims of abuse well, or was it once again an attempt by the Catholic Church to avoid the reality and facts as much as they possibly could? Our first guest today is with us to review this matter. He is a New Jersey-based attorney whose firm has had many church abuse victims as clients. Greg Gianfricaro, how are you today, Greg?
Hi, Chris. How are you?
Great to have you back to talk about a page in the book we never thought would come about, but thankfully that's the new book is now being written. GianfricaroLaw.com is where you learn more about Greg's work in this and many other legal issues. It's called the New Jersey Independent Victim Compensation Program. It's come to a close, and decisions are still going to be rendered by a couple of people who, by the way, there were the two people who were divvying up the funds for the 9/11 victims settlement cases. So superficially, you look at this and say, okay, there's two legit guys making decisions, and it looks like an effort by the Catholic Church to try to right a lot of wrongs. Is that the reality, or is that the imagery?
I think perhaps in the church's eyes, they're trying to right the wrongs of the past. However, I don't think that under these circumstances, as many of my clients do not see it that way. I think the Independent Victim Compensation Fund, or the IVCP, which is being headed by Kenneth Feinberg and Camille Byros, like you said, who ran the 9/11 Fund and other fund programs involving the Catholic Church funding programs throughout the United States. They've done many, and they're supervising the New Jersey program. But the way I see it and the way a lot of my clients see it is it is an attempt to pay perhaps cents on the dollar, and also to escape as much liability as possible. I think if the Catholic Church is really committed to wanting to clean up its act, I think, and this is going to be very hard to do, I think they have to disclose, they have to do a proper disclosure of who knew what, when, and where. And I think until that time, and that comes from releasing the files, releasing the priest pedophile files. There are hundreds of them. Chris, we knew back in the early part of last year, the church released the names of 188 credibly accused priests in New Jersey. That was their list. We disclosed a list of individual clerics who were not on that list, and we came up with a list of well over 300. And I think that the church promises to be open and transparent. I think the IVCP program, look, for many, it's an acknowledgement of the abuse. It is an opportunity to obtain compensation because they need it. I mean, these men and women who were sexually abused as children are going to need years and years and decades of counseling. So for many, it's a good thing. But the money's important, but for so many, knowledge of what happened. And did I have to be abused? Did the church or the diocese know about my abuse or my abuser before I was abused? And for those who partake in the IVCP program and who accept the terms of the settlement without filing suit, they're not going to get those answers. And like I said, for some, that's fine. For others, the money will be, is always a good thing, because it's a way of making somebody or trying to make somebody whole again. I mean, that's the whole idea of litigation. We can't go back and change the past. We can only, and unfortunately, this is the best system we've got in this type of situation, is to put money out on the table and pay for, no pun intended, but pay for the sins of the past, if you will.
Right.
But that's the idea of the program.
And the way it works, too, the victims who had accepted the compensation funds, cash settlements, or applied for them, that means right to sue is off the table. And in a way, isn't this what the Catholic Church wanted up until recently? They wanted to handle all this internally, and they openly said that, too.
Well, you know, I've been fighting, Chris, I've been fighting the Catholic Church. I've represented well over 300 men and women in this state who were sexually abused. And, you know, the Catholic Church has said that we're putting out this fund because we want to do what's right. Well, I've been fighting, like I said, hundreds of individuals that I and others have been fighting on behalf of, and yet there's been no program. This this program that the Catholic Church has put out there is because of legislators like Senator Joe Vitale. There are victims' advocates like John Hardwick, or most important, a gentleman by the name of Mark Crawford, who I know has been interviewed by this radio station in the past.
Several times, over a lot of years.
Yeah, extremely courageous men. And it's their efforts that cause change with the legislation, and opened up the statute of limitations. Had the statute of limitations not been opened, there would be no program or no fund for victims of clerical child sexual abuse in this state. So I think this is a reaction to the laws changing, for sure. But more important, I think it's a way to try and dissuade their obligation of having to be truly open and transparent. I believe last year, even Cardinal Tobin came out and had a released information that the church is going to be to try and do a better job at being open and transparent. I will tell you, through having litigated these cases, for an organization that claims to be open and transparent, I have not seen, I don't see them being truly open and transparent.
Talking with Attorney Gray Giafrancaro about the New Jersey Independent Victim Compensation Program for victims of abuse by Catholic priests. GiafrancaroLaw.com is the website for his law firm, and you're listening to Issues and Ideas. It sounds more like, from as an outsider looking in at this, this is a way the church is trying to make things and stories, realities disappear, as opposed to giving full resolution to the victims.
Absolutely. Absolutely. This is church-related. It is for the church. I don't want to sound like a complete cynic. The church offering money for victims and survivors of clerical abuse is a good start. It's a good thing. For, like I said, for many, that's what they're looking for, and it's important, and the church recognizes that. But I don't think the church is doing this out of the goodness of their hearts. I think they're doing this because of the statute of limitations opening up in New Jersey, and understanding and saying, listen, this is a way to pay pennies on the dollar. And for some, that'll be enough. But for so many others, and I see this as in situations where we litigate and we are able to obtain personnel files of these priests, what we so often find is shocking of the cover-ups, the ignoring certain situations, moving priests around place to place when there were issues of or concerns or people coming to the church and saying, look, this priest did this to me. What are you going to do about it? And they moved him. I was involved years ago with a priest who had been criminally convicted in the Newark Archdiocese. And then he had been moved by the archbishop to a parish in Missouri. And what did he do in Missouri when he got to the parish in Missouri? He sexually abused kids again up there in Missouri. And then he was brought back only to try, this priest was to try and go to yet another diocese. And there was no discussion whatsoever, because I saw the internal memos. There was no discussion of removing the faculties of this priest. This priest, ironically, wanted to go to a diocese in Orlando, Florida. And obviously, to me, when I saw that, it was shocking but not surprising. Why would this priest, who was a convicted pedophile, want to then go to Orlando, Florida? Obviously, in my opinion, and I think others would believe this, it's not a stretch to believe that, well, there's kids down in Orlando, Florida at Disney World.
Exactly.
Or Universal. And this is an opportunity for this priest to find more victims. And never, and I did see the internal memos, never was there any discussion about removing the faculties of this priest. And that's what's so shocking. I mean, they're worried not about the children or the victims or the parishioners, but they're worried about themselves. And when you see that, and when the clients read it, they get angry, but they understand, and it's empowering for so many of them, because they realize that they're not alone. You know, Chris, I have so many clients who were sexually abused as children who, even in their 50s and 60s, believe that the abuse was their fault. And it was absolutely not their fault. But when they see the information and they find out and they learn about other victims, they realize that they're not alone. And they realize that it was not their fault, that they were almost set up, and that they were it's hard to say because there's so many emotions that run through their minds, but it really is an empowering situation for a survivor to know and to learn that there were others in their place who were prey to the same abuser. And for a lot of my clients, feel as though, you know, they in some way, they understand that their abuser had a problem. What they don't understand, and that's not to defend what the pedophile did, because there's no excuse for that, but what they have such a difficult time understanding is, why did the church have to move Father so-and-so to my parish because when they knew that he had a problem? And I can't tell you how often I've seen where that's happened. And I think, and I'm going to tell you something, Chris, I think it's all about trying to move priests around so they can continue to make money. Because if they throw out the priests, I think there's going to be no priests around, or not enough priests to serve. So they sort of look the other way. And I think that's the problem. And I think that was the problem for a long time.
We have about a minute and change left here. There was over 560 people who applied to the New Jersey Independent Victim Compensation Program. Let's just say hypothetically they decide for all the cases, okay, you're going to get something out of this fund. That means you can't go to court, and this is going to stay basically records expunged as far as the pedophile priests are concerned. You mentioned about how priests have been transferred ping-ponged around from New Jersey to Pennsylvania. Some from Pennsylvania to New Jersey, by the way. If you read the Pennsylvania report, you can.
Right.
It's almost like that old flowchart you used to see when the government used to go after the mob and the little balloon photos and then connect to that, to that, to that, to that. These cases staying silent and being washed away, doesn't that eliminate the potential for someone in Minnesota to say, wait a minute, that one from New Jersey, he was here, and oh, my God.
Well, yeah, it absolutely could. And you know what's so shocking? You know, there are priests who were moved out of state for a short period of time, and there could be survivors and victims who were abused by, you know, they'll go see a lawyer and they'll say, well, I was abused by a Father Tim, but he was only here for 6 months. I don't know much about him, and there's really no record of him at that other state. So it's hard to find and get information when we're sitting here in New Jersey and we know about Father Tim, and we know that Father Tim went to another state. That, to me, if there's true transparency, that's got to be out there, because the church knows, they have records of this stuff. And I think it's important, even as lawyers, to share information. Me and my colleagues, we constantly share information about what we know within the confines of what we're allowed to disclose and not allowed to disclose. But certainly what we're allowed to disclose, we do. We try and set up a network to try and get information between the lawyers, because these priests were transferred out of state often, many times. And it's important to do that to help the survivors of abuse.
And with the way the law is now, it offers victims of sexual abuse by priests and other people, too, the ability to sue the abusers up until they turn 55. That's the victims, until they turn 55, or within 7 years of their realization that the abuse caused them harm, which is very important, because we've talked with psychologists here on the show, too, that you bury things and they don't come up to the surface until late in life, whatever triggers them. So that's an important element of the law. And additionally, victims previously barred by what had been the narrow statute of limitations in New Jersey from suing abusers and the institutions that protected them, you now have 2 years to file lawsuits seeking damage. And with that in mind, and what you've heard Gray talk about here, if this is a situation that you're starting to realize applies to you, or maybe you were just unaware of these changes in the law that took place this past December, you want to contact Greg's law firm, gmforcarolaw.com, learn more about the work that they do in this and other issues, and hopefully set things right for you personally, because as far as you are concerned, you should be the first and most important part of this thing. No excuses for others, no reasons for things to have happened to you that did happen to you. And now's the time to take action, because the door has indeed finally been opened for you for resolution and recovery that you're certainly much deserving of. Gray Gia from Carwa, thanks so much for the work you continue to do, because as we said earlier, this is a first page of a brand new volume on this issue. And my hope is that the happy ending, long overdue, will come sooner versus later.
Right, yeah. Let's hope, Chris. And I do want to say, just on top of what you just said, anyone who was sexually abused in this state, even the adults, have 2 years from December 1st, 2019 through November 30th, 2021. That's a two-year period. Anyone, whether they're over 55, younger, under 55, anyone can come out and file a claim. And I think for those who were abused by clerics, I would contact a lawyer before I would contact the church, because so often the victims feel like they can seek justice from the church, and I don't think that that's the way to do it. I think they should speak to a lawyer. Absolutely.
Thanks again, Greg.
Thank you, Chris. Thanks very much.